It'll be first and 25.
This is First and 25, the Football Zebras podcast, our 25-minute roundtable discussion on officiating. I'm Ben Ostro, editor-in-chief of Football Zebras, with the full house tonight. Senior editor Mark Schultz, editor Cam Philippe, writer Pat Weber, and writer-analyst Chris Soibler. So, we're going to jump right in. It was two big plays that got noticed over the weekend. And we'll start with the Hail Mary at the end of the Manders-Bears game. Two ends of the play. We have behind the line of scrimmage, which was an astounding 13 seconds from snap to pass. And then we have the other end tip and the catch in the end zone. First of all, what stood out for you, Mark, on that particular?
Well, first of all, the positioning of the officials down at the goal line for the tip drill and catch for a touchdown. Back in the 70s and 80s, the officials would be very close or closer to the tip drill. The back judge might even be several steps into the end zone and almost standing next to the receiver who caught it. But no, everybody stayed put. They stayed back in their positions. Jonah Monroe, the back judge, was the calmest person in the entire stadium. Up with the touchdown. That's ball game. We're going. No jumping, no furiously pumping his hands in the air 5, 6, 7 times. He just nailed it. There was some grousing in Chicagoland about 3 missed penalty flags, but I didn't have anything on that play, penalty-wise.
So one of the things that was being looked at was the potential for a blindside block. I didn't see the play live. I saw it a little bit later, and when I first looked through the broadcast angle, I thought, ooh, there may have been one there because the hallmarks are, the biggest one is the player that is initiating the block is moving back toward his own end line. In this instance, I kind of had to rewind the video and look again, but the blocker was able to step in front of the player receiving the block. He was able to chip sort of from the front. So yes, while he was moving back against the grain or upstream, as we would call it, he was able to get in front and establish a posture in front of the player receiving the block and deliver it in a way that saved him from being penalized for a blindside block. So I think it was a great technique there, especially, you know, when you have that time building and building, when the defenders are closing in, the offensive linemen might get desperate. But in this case, I think that they did a great job.
Yeah, it gets really tricky too on those long plays, right? Everybody, all the officials have kind of zoned up. So you really need to look for those hallmark aspects of a blindside block or a hold or something. So as Mark said, I think everyone got to their positions, got stationary, and just started scanning the field looking for all these sorts of things that could happen. As the play develops, I think as an official, you start to worry that you're going to miss something because it's been going on for so long. But again, going back, I don't think there was really anything that jumped out as, wow, that was a really bad missed call that everybody missed.
Yeah, I think the other one that kind of gets thrown out there is the potential hold on the defensive end. The blocker's got good feet, good hands, and the defensive end really kind of just throws his hand up to try and sell something, in my opinion. I mean, there's a little bit, maybe a little bit of a grab, but nothing that restricts his movement or significantly puts him off his route in any way. I mean, it's just not there. So, I mean, at least the line of scrimmage, everything, in my opinion, was clean.
It's no different than any other play, generally, but we can also say a Hail Mary is not like any other place. We cannot officiate it pretending that it is functioning as a typical scrimmage down. But we see some instances where, yeah, there might be some grab that you're like, okay, it's suspect. But again, you're not looking at it as, oh, okay, that momentary grab, that's the hold. We've discussed in previous weeks that everything seems to have a rhythm. And then once you get a play where the quarterback's holding the ball for 13 seconds, yet players are getting antsy. I'm sure officials are getting a little agitated because there's just way too many things that are moving at that particular point. So you are breaking the rhythm at that point when you have that quarterback holding the ball so long. And then you do run into that. That's when mistakes are made. And in this case, you had Commander's offense being very disciplined. One of the things that's not even being discussed is ineligible downfield, because they were very disciplined in circling in that area and making sure that they did not advance downfield, which is another thing that of course the line officials are looking for.
It was interesting that you say that the play took 13 seconds, or at least the scramble did, and probably another 3 or 4 seconds for the pass to be completed. That's easily a play that happens twice as long. It took twice as long for that play to get accomplished as an average football play, more than twice as long. So yes, the officials' internal clocks were going off like something, we should be wrapping this play up. What's going on? They did a very good job and they were very disciplined. One thing too, and maybe the others can jump in, when there were complaints about holding, I saw many double teams. And at least on our level, we say if there's a double team, you are hard pressed to throw a hold on a guard and a tackle who are double teaming a blitzing linebacker or any defender. What did you guys see about that?
You know, I think it kind of comes back to when people kind of say there's a hold in every play. Yeah, maybe there's guys clothing up or there's a grab on every play. But to rise to level foul, you have to grab and then take away something, you know, grab and restrict, a takedown. And when you rush three against five blockers, you're really not going to put any linemen in the place where they're going to need to take anything away, because there are double teams. And philosophically, I mean, you're not going to say you can never have a hold on a double team, but if the offense commits two blockers to one guy, there has to be something egregious for it to rise to the level of foul. And that's on any normal play, not just a Hail Mary.
And let's just kind of we focused on the line of scrimmage end and the offensive backfield, and everything was clean on the other end. But we know that once that ball is in the air, everybody's tensing up, and that includes three deep officials. And I'm sure that there's also the line of scrimmage officials are also, you know, providing some sort of backup, even if it is at a distance there. So the first thing is to tense up and just zero in on the very specific aspects of the catch. Pass interference, we were looking at a lot smaller circle of contact that's called pass interference. So just kind of walk us through, why don't I start with you, Cam, just kind of walk us through officiating the reception and the Hail Mary.
So on a desperation play like this, it's got to be something somebody standing outside the stadium is able to see for it to rise to the level of a foul in a scenario like that. So philosophically speaking, let the players determine the outcome of the game on a Hail Mary. And again, there may be some mutual hand fighting, especially in a crowd that big. Any official that's working in a deep position, or you know, on the high school level, if we have a short wing official drifting downfield on a play like this, they're going to be hard pressed to call a foul for pass interference unless there's a clear two-handed arm extension, knocking somebody to the ground, gaining separation. It's just philosophically speaking, it's something you want to let the players determine. Hail Marys are obviously very exciting plays in a game, especially as we saw yesterday when they're successful, because there are many more times they are unsuccessful. But in terms of pass interference on a Hail Mary pass, it's just against natural instinct as an official. Situationally, you have to work not only to the rules that are stated in the rule book, but also the philosophies that are hand in hand, the margin notes, as we like to say.
Yeah, and obviously Hail Marys are completely different because you don't have defenders with their heads turned anymore, right? Everyone knows where the ball is coming in. So thankfully, that's kind of taken out of the equation. No one's usually coming from behind to play through a defender, so thankfully that is as well. But like Cam said, unless someone gives a two-handed shove and really creates separation, again, the defenders have every right to go knock that ball down as much as the offense does have to catch it. So you got to let them each have their shot at that. And unfortunately for the Bears, they both did that, but they left the one guy behind him.
Well, and I guess it really comes down to, in this is on both sides, the holding and on pass interference, is advantage. And when you have players crashing to a point, there's expectation that, everything is jostled around, so there is no advantage gain. But if the one player that is reaching for the ball is suddenly knocked down to the ground because, as you say, he's pushed, there was the advantage that was leveraged in that pile. So you weren't making the attempt at the ball. You were making an attempt to clear yourself. And that's one of the things that, I see as a criticism that keeps coming out, when particularly when there's usually when there's a failed play, and then now there's the forensic analysts of looking at, what that play entailed and every little aspect that made it fail. And, well, what about this and what about this? And then why is there a separate set of rules, as I've heard, for a Hail Mary? And my answer simply, and I guess you guys can expand on it, is we can't pretend that this is a normal play. It does not resemble a pass on a standard scrimmage down, so we cannot apply the principles of a standard scrimmage down to a pass that acts like that. You maybe have, you'll have one-on-one, one-on-two, two-on-two, and that's maybe the most in an area. You don't have five-on-seven and every other combination in between. And so when you have those differences, then you say, well, okay, this does not fit into the mold of a standard down, so we cannot then take the principles of a standard down and then apply it to a Hail Mary. So it's not that there's new rules for Hail Mary, it's just that you've devised a play in which, let's be honest, one of the desirable outcomes for the offense is to pick up a defensive pass interference and get an untimed down deep near the goal line.
I mean, on the Hail Mary, we do, just by the nature of the play, we allow more leeway. But I still think it comes back to what the rules are. Contact by itself is not a foul. I mean, it is still a contact sport. And kind of as Chris alluded to, when you have six, seven guys all looking up at the ball and waiting on the ball, you know, you throw out some of the buckets they put pass interference into. Like, if we're going to throw a flag for pass interference, there's still the five or six buckets that we need to put that flag into, whether it's early contact, not playing the ball, a hook and turn, playing through the back. And when you have all the guys looking up at the ball and mutual hand fighting, unless someone goes well outside the realm of the jockeying while you're looking at the ball, you really can't put it into any of those buckets to have a foul. And you just don't see that on a normal play. So that level of contact maybe doesn't happen on a normal play, but on any other pass play, you don't have six players looking up at the ball, waiting for the ball to come down.
Mark, I know you were agreeing on that, but let's kind of look at this at a situation where on a typical play, you have receiver, defender, kind of using their hands as eyes as they're doing a route. Now, on this particular play, there isn't any route. It's just go to this point. Kind of give me a little bit of a sense of using the hands legally in this situation.
A lot of times a defender will put their hand out to put their hand on a receiver to see which way he's going. So if he's going this way, you know, as long as my hand is on him, I am close and I might be able to defend this pass. It's when I start to grip his shirt and pull or push on him, that's when the antenna for pass interference goes up. Now, when you have a Hail Mary at the goal line, you have everybody hand fighting and jockeying for a position. And another thing, too, to remember, it's five, six, seven people there. Usually pass interference is a one-on-one receiver and defender judgment. You've got a mass of humanity in there. And if you want to call it straight up like you would on a normal pass play, you couldn't finish the game because you'd have offsetting pass interferences the entire time. So, but putting your hands up and able to feel where the receiver is going so you can keep your steps with him to defend, that's okay. Just don't grip him. just don't put your hand on his arm so he can't raise it up and try and catch the pass. Just don't rub him off of his route or cut his route off, and you'll be okay putting your hands on a receiver.
Let's transition over to the Thursday night game, which the ending of that one was widely spread on social media for a different reason. Game sealing safety on the Vikings, the comeback drive there. Sam Darnold tackled in the end zone for safety in the process of the sack. Yeah, there was a hand that reached up to the helmet to begin with, and then we could very clearly see from the very superior overhead angle the fingers curl in. I'll start with you, Chris, and just kind of go through where hand on the face mask becomes the face mask foul.
Yeah, it's pretty much the face mask and any opening of the helmet, right? So as soon as you get a grip on it and see a displacement of that helmet, it rises to a foul. Now, this case, it very much depends. The visibility of this depends on where the official is looking at that particular time. And, you know, we all discussed this after the play, and Cam made the best comment that I heard, when it was, this is one of the hardest fouls to see, because invariably you're not necessarily looking at that spot when you're officiating. You know, as the referee, you're kind of looking at the ball a little bit to make sure it's not a fumble or a pass, right? You're also looking through the back of the quarterback in this case. And the hilarious thing is there's a still shot from the referee position asking, why wasn't this a face mask? And from that still shot, you cannot see if it's a face mask or not. All you can see is the helmet go down a little bit and the defender's hand on Darnold's shoulder. So that just goes to show you how hard it is. And, you know, the fact that the umpire is now in the backfield as well, looking through the back of the quarterback, makes it tricky as well. Because if you had the umpire in the traditional position of the linebackers, you might get to see this foul. But in this case, I think the reality is no one saw it. And it goes so quickly in and out, it's just hard to pick up unless you're looking at it at the split second that it happened.
So, yeah, it echoed it perfectly. As soon as I saw this, I had literally just had a conversation in my pregame the Friday night before where I mentioned to my referee, face masks suck. They're so hard to call. A lot of times, you know, you see a player in a pile, he squirts out of the pile, and all of a sudden his head just jerks to the side, and it's like, how did that happen? Did someone grab it? Like, and it's a perfect way to describe it. We're looking elsewhere, usually. You're usually keying on something else where you're not necessarily looking at the runner's head more times than not. This is something that I say all the time when I train new officials. You can know all of the rules, like the back of your hand, and be the walking dictionary on the field, but if you're not in the right position, whether it's your fault or not, you're useless. So it's all about angles. And I remember last season, we had a presentation in my local high school association, one of our weekly meetings. The entire hour-long presentation was about angles, because they're so critical in terms of making a foul. That still frame that we saw, which is exactly Trey Blake's view on that play, behind and to the right of the quarterback. No chance you can be able to pick that up. There's no way. If we had the umpire in his traditional position, potentially you're thinking, ooh, could it have been picked up that way? Because now we're looking from the front. I don't even know about that, because he's probably not even looking there either. He'd be looking at the interior lineman. So again, it all depends on keys and angles. And you'd think, well, this player is not really in a crowd. He's not in a pile. He's standing in the end zone mostly by himself. How can something like this be missed? Now, again, if you had a grab of the face mask and it was a grab of the whole face mask and the helmet turned to the side or something like that, that's a different story. But this really, it was the shoulder and like the bottom of the face mask. So again, unless you're looking right there, when in most cases officials are not looking right there, it's going to be extremely difficult to pick up. And that's another one of the reasons that at the high school level, I hate that we still have 5 and 15, because that just adds another layer. The NFL got rid of that, I believe, in 2008, if I'm not mistaken, around that time. But we still have that at the high school level, and it adds another layer, and it makes me hate it even more. So, you know, on something like this, it gets a lot of flack from fans thinking, how can this not be called? But as officials watching this, we can say, That's a tough one that they missed, but I know I can understand exactly why it was missed. It's just because the angles weren't there.
So, Pat, let me throw this to you, and I'll kind of frame it this way. So we have the referee that doesn't have the view of the grip. But again, he's got this helmet jerk. And then we also have a line of scrimmage official seeing the mouthing of the words, no, it was the shoulder. And then Sam Darnold being a little upset because he knew otherwise. So I guess kind of put us into that area where we see at an angle, we see the jerk of a helmet. And everybody at home is immediately saying, ah, that's a face mask.
Well, I think we can only call what we see. And when you start assuming things or inferring things, you get yourself in trouble. There is a pretty famous play, probably actually almost 10 years ago now, 8 years ago, with Aaron Rodgers and the Detroit Lions, where on the last play of the game, if you watch that play live, the way his helmet jerks, kind of the way people say, like, if you see his helmet jerk, it's got to be a face mask. Well, his helmet jerks, and they throw the face mask, and then on that play, you see the replay that it was all shoulder, and it was a missed call the other way, and then, of course, the next play is a Hail Mary, and the Packers win. So, I mean, that's just another big play that shows you can't just assume because the helmet moves. And I know people will say with Trey Blake, like, how can you say it's the shoulder if it wasn't? But when you don't have the call and you got, I mean, that's what he saw. And that's the only way you can explain it on the field. I do think another underrated aspect of this play is that they snap the ball at the 3-4 yard line. So the referee and umpire don't get their normal depth and it's more compacted. And really, closer is not better a lot of times. Like, you definitely need to have a wider angle. And if this is in the middle of the field and they have their depth and wider angles, maybe they have a better look at this play.
And in the minute and two we have left, Mark, you want to kind of, we have the umpire in the backfield. I know you've written about this many times about the vantage point from there. You have Carl Paganelli on another pivot point there, potentially providing another angle. Lord knows I've got a lot of still frames. What is this guy looking at? So what is this guy looking at?
Carl Paganelli is looking at the interior line. He's looking at guard, center, guard, maybe an approaching tackle from the opposite side. Since it is in the end zone, he does not want to miss a holding foul in the end zone because if the offense commits holding in the end zone, that's a safety. So he is looking at linemen. Then as they approach, the defender approaches the quarterback to sack him, he might look and have secondary help to Trey Blake on a potential fumble pass, roughing the passer, or in this case, a face mask. But he was busy elsewhere on that play, and he may have gotten it, and this face mask was just an instant. Blink and you miss it. In his switch from the lineman to the quarterback, that switch may have been it, and by the time his eyes got to the quarterback, the face mask was over, and he didn't have anything. So that's what Paganelli was looking at on that play.
And I know that they want the umpire to switch off of some of that stuff right before contact, but you know, you got to time that right. And again, you're looking at the totality of it. You're not zeroed in on that face mask. And even at that, we're talking about the fingers creating a grip. Perhaps from that angle, again, we're trying to infer what comes out from that angle. You see hand, but you don't see the fingers curling around because you're not seeing it from that opposite angle. One of the 23, 24 angles that they have on prime time. Just one other point about replay. It was mentioned as a possibility. We can kind of get into this at another time. But only if the flag was down for a face mask could they actually try to pick it up, but it's not been set up in a way to put down a flag in that particular situation. Something the competition committee looked at in the past offseason and something that they will definitely at least look at again. Yeah, I even had a Packers fan saying, well, as a Packers fan, I think the Vikings got screwed. And it's like, you kind of benefited on one of these face mask calls that went the wrong way. And then, well, to bring everything full circle, it ended on the Hail Mary. And with that, we end our podcast. Thanks to Pat Weber, Chris Soiber, Tim Philippe, Mark Schultz. I'm Ben Ostro. We got everybody here. And we'll be dropping a new episode every Tuesday. Spread the word. like us, favorite us, give us 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcast. Please subscribe as well. Many thanks for listening.